all over the place, right? That's a damaged artery. It's probably not going to work as efficiently. So that cholesterol is going to go around and try to plug and fix those cracks in the artery. But as opposed to focusing on lowering what the helpers that help heal your arterial wall, we should focus on what damages your arterial wall. Yeah?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if there's no damage, there's no need to plug up an artery.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to heal that arterial wall. So when we think of heart disease, we have to think of arterial health. Yeah, and specifically if our arteries aren't healthy and our the tubes that carry our blood are not healthy and they're damaged, it's going to be difficult to be healthy, right? And potentially lead to something like heart disease and a heart attack. So, what might cause damage to the arteries? That's the big question. What causes damage to any cell of the body?
Poor diet.
Well, poor diet might. We'll get into that in a sec. What else? What can cause damage to any cell of the body? Most of the time, we just think of our skin. But what can cause damage to any cell of the body? Okay, inflammation. Okay, what is inflammation? Is inflammation the cause of the... Yeah, inflammation is a response to an irritant, right? Inflammation is typically a response to an irritant. Anybody ever get a rash or a cut, okay? And that cut, all of a sudden, when you first get a cut, it's not red and inflamed, is it? No, but then over the course of an hour or two, it puffs up and gets a little red and a little swollen, that area, right? Which is the body's attempt to heal that cut or that rash. You rub one area of the skin for a long time, is that area of the skin going to get irritated? Is it potentially going to get a little inflamed? Okay. So when we think of cellular health, and remember the cells make up the arterial wall, we have to think of what might be irritating our cells that would cause inflammation. That's where true health is found. Guess what causes inflammation?
All right. Corn.
Not necessarily carbohydrates, not necessarily that sort of stuff, but from a simple standpoint, what causes inflammation? Well, let's just think of the first things we've already talked about in here.
Processing
of food. What specific things in the food that is processed? The additives, right? The monosodium diglutamate phosphate aspartate. Okay? Those can cause inflammation for sure. When a food is modified from its original form, typically that sort of processing might have some additives to it. Okay. But we also, when we think of inflammation, we have to think of nature. Okay, and this is where the good, fun stuff comes from. We have to think of nature. So I'm still way off topic from the book, but we're gonna circle our way back. This is the more Eddie information that's gonna allow you guys to be better trainers and understand why eating specific ways is healthier and not. When we think about nature, we have to understand everything in nature is trying to survive. The goal of a species is to survive and produce offspring. Everybody agree?
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same level. Come on, guys, get pumped right now. My minds are about to be blown. Some of you have heard of this, some of you haven't. Okay. When you think of nature, every species is here to survive and produce offspring. If a species can't produce offspring, what happens? The species goes extinct. Nature is very good at making things extinct that aren't really good survivors. Right?
Darwinism.
Yeah. Okay. Just the theory of evolution. Right? No, wait, let me think about that. Well, you have to evolve to best fit your adaptation, or to best adapt to your environment, to best survive. That's basically what it is. And then those characteristics that lead to your better survival are passed on through traits to the next generation, and as you think of it, you basically get better and better at surviving. That's the point. Okay. So everything that is around nowadays is good at surviving. Okay? And when we think of surviving, what do we have to protect ourselves from?
The elements.
We have to, from the elements. So let's just say the circle of life, everything is trying to protect itself from the bigger predator. Typically, right? It's the food chain you can think of. The food chain. We'll think about the African plains or the jungle or something, okay? The bigger fish in the pond is probably going to eat smaller fish, okay? Unless those fish are not carnivorous. Yeah, or if you hunt in groups, okay? That's a whole different thing. Don't make me go down that way. what the biggest animal in the jungle, how does he protect himself? He eats all the other animals, and he's huge, so he's hard to take down, and he's got big claws, maybe. I don't know which area you want to choose, but for instance, the lions don't typically eat large elephants, right? So there's a protective mechanism of being huge and hard to take down and strong and powerful, right? That's like your elephant. Do elephants eat a ton of meat?
No.
They eat a ton of vegetation. But they aren't really, the lions aren't actually typically after them to kill them, right? Okay, because they're so big, it's a form of protection to be massive. Okay? A tree, you can think of the exact same way. Is anyone going to try to eat a tree? It's like, hey, here's a tree. Well, that's a huge tree. I'm not going to try to eat that tree.
A tree? Okay.
I'm getting a little weird here, but let's go to the basics. How do you protect yourself in nature? What can you do? We're human in nature. What can we do?
Adapt your surroundings.
Okay, so we can hide, meaning blend in with your surroundings. So kind of hide. Okay, what else?
Bigger and stronger.
Be big, but we aren't typically the biggest animal around, so that's tough for us to be the size of an elephant. We can't grow that big, so that one's gonna be a little tough for us. What can we do? We can hide. We can. We can fight, okay? We can fight. And we can...
Run.
And we can run. We can run, we can hide, and we can fight. Does that sound like most of the protective mechanisms in nature? When we think of all animals and all species, what can they do? They can run, they can hide, or they can fight. We have to think of this when we think of our food, because the protective mechanisms in food matter. Big time. So the protective mechanism for plants, can they run?
No.
Can they hide?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, plants can definitely hide. Okay? What type of plants hide?
Pine cones.
Damn, pine cones are hiding. Can't find the pine cones anywhere.
Coniferous plants stay pretty.
What plants purposefully hide from sight? Think about it. Where would they be located?
Underground.
Underground. What plants grow underground?
Like
roots, carrot, root vegetables, root plants. Root plants hide underground. Are they visible? Are they in plain sight?
No.
Are they easy to find if you're like someone walking down the road and there's just a bunch of dirt? Are you going to expect there to be a root vegetable growing underneath there?
No.
And it's going to be hard to find. That is a protective mechanism, right? Because what happens if that root vegetable gets found?
It gets eaten.
Can it produce offspring? Can it produce offspring if it's eaten?
Oh, no.
No. There's also the thing of like some fruits and some berries that grow in plain sight. Okay. Well, actually, let's finish with the protective mechanisms. So they can't run. Plants can't run, unfortunately. If you see a plant run, you should probably just, get off the acid and go somewhere else.
Yeah. And live my life.
Plants can't run. Okay, so there's no way a plant's going to be able to protect itself by running, like humans or animals. Okay. It can hide. Plants can hide by growing out of sight. Can plants fight?
Yes.
Poison?
Okay. So plants can fight, too. Poison is one way. A poisonous plant is probably not going to be eaten, right, by many animals. So the protective agent is to fight. Like, screw you. Like, you can't eat me because I'm going to, like, hurt you. Dude.
Bruh.
Fight. Bruh. Okay. Some things like bushes have thorns on them. That's like a mechanism for protection and fighting, right, in a way, if you think about it.
Pollen.
What's that?
Pollen.
Pollen, okay, so some poisonous pollens or something that might be like protective in a sense that it's going to irritate whatever eats it, or yeah, that sort of thing, okay.
It needs to have like a bitter aftertaste so that...
Okay, a bad taste? It can literally like have like an acidic, gross sort of like thing that nobody would really like the taste of. That's another form of protection. But also, we have to think about... plants that protect themselves by fighting internally. Bum, bum, bum. So, when we think of certain plants that can fight, what happens when you eat okay, let me go different. What if you ate a plant and felt super shitty, vomited, had nausea, headaches, and got sick every time you ate that plant?
Stop eating it.
Yeah,
would you eat that plant again?
No.
No. Okay. Some plants fight by having the make you feel like shit element. Okay? And what they have in them that is not going to be very good for you to digest are basically protective agents. Okay, these protective agents, when they're released into your system, will say cause inflammation and damage to your cells. Okay, and what foods typically have this protective agent? No, not berries. Berries is a different one. We're going to get into that next. Well, actually, we'll do that really quick. Berries want to be eaten. Why?
Well, so is it being processed in the health?
Why do berries want to be eaten?
So when they're pooped out, they...
Because that's how they reproduce. The birds come and eat them. They eat the seeds. The seeds get passed through, and all of a sudden the bird poops. That seed is in a nice little ball of fertilizer, gets put into the ground, and what happens?
More
berries grow. Okay, but what happens if a food gets eaten, and when it's eaten, it can't reproduce because it doesn't have that sort of quality seed like a berry does? Does it? It doesn't want to be eaten, right?
No.
So what is it going to do? It's going to develop over millions of years.
Shell and nuts.
Shells potentially. Okay. Does a nut particularly want to be eaten? Can it reproduce? God, Miguel. Does a nut want to be eaten? Yes, I got that. Okay. So it's going to have a protective agent that's going to take a lot of effort to open that shell. Anybody ever try to eat an almond from nature? Oh, it's ridiculous. If you don't have like a tool and you try to break it, it's like it's not worth the time that you would put in. Okay, so almonds might have a few protective agents, but their protective agent is mainly in the shell. Do we eat the shells?
No.
No, so nuts aren't going to be terrible for us and cause a whole bunch of irritation. Okay? But what if we ate the shells? Do you think that might cause a little bit of irritation?
It's gonna be bloody.
Yeah, might be a little bloody. Yeah, because we got all the imagine eating a shell of a walnut. You would crack a walnut, right? We'd be a nutcracker. It's also a play. Okay, so you can imagine some like nuts like that have the seed inside, or the nut seed. Okay, and they're protected by the outer shell. We don't eat that outer shell. What if the seed is smaller and doesn't look as isn't as big? Like for instance, eating a sunflower seed. Okay, that's a little bit easier to eat the whole thing, right? Than a walnut or something. Okay, but what about the seed in something like wheat? And what about the protective casing in something like wheat? Well, what's the difference between whole grain?
Get the one that I brought.
Grab those and put those in the trash.
I know.
I brought you one last time.
Grab those.
All right. What's the difference between whole grain and not whole grain? Whole grain has the protective outer casing, and it includes the whole grain. Yay! Okay. And then when you process grains, like the difference between brown rice and white rice, what do? You remove one of the layers, and you get a more refined, simpler, not whole grain, right? It's no longer whole grain anymore. Okay, but what does the government recommend then? You eat the whole grain, right? What if I told you that each of these layers contain protective agents that cause inflammation and damage to the body? Would you want to eat that?
No.
It's like eating the shell of a nut.
It's like eating that walnut shell, right? Is that going to be very pleasing to your system? No?
So is that rice?
But yeah, this is rice, this is wheat, this is corn. Rice, wheat, and corn. Any grain has a outer casing, sort of a medial casing, or middle casing, and then an inner casing. And the inner casing is the starch, the actual nutrient portion of the grain. This is why we can get calories from a grain, is because inside of this shell right here, they have starch, pure starch, such as rice, wheat, and corn. Okay, are rice, wheat, and corn pretty much the staple of the American diet? Wheat, specifically. What does the government recommend in the new food pyramid, which we'll get into in the next few minutes here, on page 41? A whole mess of whole grains, yay. Okay, so the government's recommending that we eat whole grain. But because the grain has evolved over millions of years, whatever you want to say, it has developed a mechanism that prevents it from being eaten in nature. And that is, when you eat this, you feel like shit. Anybody ever feel a little lethargic after you have some pizza?
Yeah,
kind of
like,
oh. Like, okay. Yeah. Anybody ever get headaches frequently?
Yes, I do.
What if I told you that all disease, okay, I'm not gonna say all disease, most disease comes from inflammation. And inflammation is caused by many things, but one of the biggest culprits of inflammation is caused by whole grain. What if I told you most of the modern diseases, including hypertension, diabetes, we'll talk about diabetes, it's a little unique one, but Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, peripheral heart disease, coronary heart disease, Parkinson's disease, psoriasis, all those conditions were caused by inflammation. Inflammation caused by, well, crap food and processing that goes into the food. Foods with more than one ingredient. And foods that are from nature that have a protective agent to survive, but yet we cultivate on a regular basis. Does that make sense why all of a sudden chronic disease is so abundant in our society? Would it correlate the fact that we've eaten more whole grain and than we have ever in the history of our species?
Mm-hmm. So the USDA is killing us.
No. We don't want to jump down the hole of saying that the USDA is killing us or trying to kill us or anything like that. We just want to recognize that via education and understanding a little bit about nature, we can recognize that there's benefits to eating foods and there's detriments to eating other foods. Mm-hmm. And the main thing that I want you guys to think about is your health from here on out is inflammation. And I know you guys have seen inflammation when you've had a bad weekend, and all of a sudden you come back here, and I measure your skin folds, and you're a little bit higher, you weigh 2 pounds more, you weigh 3 pounds more, and you feel a little crappy, and you aren't up 100%, you know, yourself.
It's all in and out.
In and out, exactly. So, we went from a little bit about history to getting into nature and protective agents in nature. This is just a theory, guys. This is just a theory. Okay? There's no science that's going to be able to prove this anytime too soon. But it's something that I would recommend trying to see if you, or if this works for you. If you can reduce body fat by reducing inflammation. Because remember, what comes along with inflammation?
Swelling.
A lack of optimized system. Fluid retention, what did you say?
Mass.
A little extra mass, a little just fluid buildup. And what extra comes with that? You get hormonal imbalance. Okay? If your body is chronically being attacked, by what are called anti-nutrients, or basically foods that are not meant to be eaten, what does your body have to develop more of? Well, does that it has to basically go fight off this inflammation. If your body's worried about fighting off inflammation, what does it not have time to do? Or if your body's constantly using its immune system to fight off inflammation, are you more likely to get sick?
Yeah.
Anybody get sick 3 to 4 times a year on every year, guaranteed? Used to?
I used to.
Thank you. Okay. Did you guys stop eating grains or something? Okay. So when you have inflammation, you have hormonal dysregulation. When you have hormonal dysregulation, you lead to decreased testosterone, increased stress hormones, and cortisol, leading to increased body fat and just hormonal dysregulation. All about. You're probably getting sick. You're probably having joint pain that's just achy for no reason. You're probably getting headaches randomly, brain fog, tired at 2 p.m. every day, or even tired all the time. Okay, there's a lot of symptoms that run along with, or that come right along with eating foods that are not supposed to be eaten due to the fact that they are great at protecting themselves. But, I mean, can a plant protect itself if you purposefully farm it? Or cut it all off, go and put it in through a bunch of machines, process it, and turn it into something that looks like food. It can still, because that whole grain is still in your whole wheat bread. And when you have all of this inflammation-causing grain, grind it up and blend it up, is it still there? Did it take out any of the inflammatory factors? It didn't. Does that mean you should immediately stop eating whole grain?
Yeah.
It depends. Depends if you want to give it a go or not. It depends if you want to give it a try. If you give it a try and all of a sudden you see great response, would you be more likely to avoid foods that might be pro-inflammatory? Mm-hmm. Okay. If you don't give it a try, it might be tough for you to understand maybe what this feels like. All right. So that's just the kind of intro into history, and because we didn't, or we are fat phobic, we are carb philic, or we really want carbs according to the USDA. So what are they going to recommend the most of? Carbs. And guess what carbs are going to typically recommend because they're most abundant in our society?
Grains.
Grain. Because grain, is grain easy to grow?
Yes.
Is grain easy to make into lots of foods to feed millions and millions of people?
Yeah.
Is there typically a surplus of grain or a lack thereof of grain?
Surplus.
Can they ship grain across the world and it still be fresh?
Yeah.
Does grain spoil in a week? Nope. Is it the optimal food source for income generation?
Okay, maybe.
Why? Because it doesn't spoil. You could store it for long periods of time. And you could cook it and eat it and turn it into whatever you want. Did you know that the number three income generator in this nation is wheat, corn, rice? What if the government recognized that this inflammatory these were inflammatory issues caused by grain? Would they start to recommend no grain or no grain diet?
Not if
the
money was coming in.
Well, if you were making $1 billion a year, and you realized that your $1 billion a year was making people unhealthy, would you tell the whole world that and lose your $1 billion a year?
Absolutely not.
No. Ethically, we think about this stuff and say, of course we would, because we're for the people and all that sort of stuff. But you're getting $1 billion a year, living a perfectly lavish lifestyle, creating tons of revenue, you know, conquering the world like we do, and we are never going to say that you should avoid any food. Except maybe fat, because fat causes heart disease. Are fats easy to monetize? On a global level?
No.
Where does fat come from in diet?
Animals.
And maybe some plants here and there. Avocado. Okay? Is anyone ever going to, like, monetize and farm for animal fat?
We can farm Americans.
We could farm Americans, just shave off all their fat now. Protein wise, where does protein come in nature or in our diet?
Meat,
animals.
Okay, animals. Is it easy to monetize animals on a global, large scale, sort of global economic level?
It wouldn't be as cost effective as grains.
It wouldn't nearly be as cost effective as grains, correct.
Spoil much quicker.
But what can you do to make it almost, or try to make it as efficient as grains?
Processing.
Well, think about what they do to American farmed cow. What do they do? What's the average life of a farm cow? It's a year to year and a half, I think, now. But what do they do?
Hormones.
Inject it with hormones, feed it as quickly as possible, get it as fat as possible, feeding it corn. Yeah, you could, you know, make that animal sick. Unhealthy, but is it able to make more money when it's sick and unhealthy, fat, and dies quicker? Or, I mean, you can kill it quicker.
Dude, that looks disgusting. They don't even move. They just, like, stay in their own filth.
So when you see the vegetarian agenda, they're going to point to that sort of stuff. The mistreatment of animals and the fact that they're pumping things full because it's the food or meat is an industry. Okay. I mean, food is an industry. Meat, the beef industry is an industry. They're trying to make the most money possible. Should we focus on farms and eat meats that have this sort of mentality?
No.
No, because is that meat as healthy as something that's maybe more natural?
No.
Okay. So this is why all of a sudden you're starting to see this sort of shift into organic meats and naturally raised and grass-fed and free range and all this sort of stuff, because we're realizing, oh shit, you know, well, the vegetarians kind of exposed the fact that the meat industry is a piece of shit, and it is, most of it. 80 to 90% of the meat industry is just crap.
That's always been the case, though, 1920s.
Yeah. I mean, it's because it's all for money. So when we think of the economics of food, you have to realize that there's a lot of behind the scenes sort of monetary issues going on. They aren't trying to feed us the healthiest thing possible to help us thrive the most, because that's not sustainable. The reason why the population of this world has expanded so much is 100% because of grain. There's some benefits to grain. We wouldn't have civilization without grain. Because guess what happened about 10,000 years ago?
The woman took grain and started growing it.
All of a sudden, we started farming. And when you farm, do you travel and are you a hunter-gatherer style lifestyle?
No,
you stay in one spot. You farm your land. You eat what the land gives you. Typically grain, though, because you aren't going to... It's not too often that you can farm, like, animals. Some hunter-gatherers do literally farm lamb and sheep and goats and stuff and bring them along with them and eat them when they need to. But grain literally created society, created civilization, created technology. The first bits of technology, guess what they were?
The combine.
What's that?
The combine, you're talking about.
They were to farm grain.
The tools
that grind up grain. The first, that's technology. I mean, obviously the spears and stuff came first to kill animals, but then all of a sudden you get into more further technology. People start to need things to farm grain, and all of a sudden we get all these great new tools and...
Irrigation.
All of a sudden we create, this acropolis or this utopia of, hey, you could stay in one spot your whole life and not spend your entire day looking for food and enjoy your life more. And, I mean, is that badass? Are we lucky to live in a society where we get to do what we want and just expect food anywhere we want at any time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's all due to grain. And the fact that we know how to cultivate, farm it, eat it, and that sort of thing. But has the health been getting better?
No.
No? People will argue and say, well, we've been living longer. Have we been living longer because of healthy diets, or have we been living because of medical advancements?
And less
perils in nature. If we're out in nature, are we going to survive to 90 years old? Guess what happens when we're 80 or 75, 80 and can't move?
No, we're eating.
Well, no, you just get attacked and killed by something that's fast and going to eat you. Sorry, Eric. Okay, so I've gone on a long enough rant. Okay, I told you guys I'd do this, and it will put us behind. That's why I don't know how I'm crazy to think I'll be able to get through 14 chapters. But any questions, just kind of off of those sort of thoughts. This is not information that's in textbooks yet. Cross my fingers. This is not information that's going to make it on the New York Times front page. We have to realize that this sort of movement in health has to come from the ground up. You may have heard of something called the paleo diet or paleo lifestyle, in which they try to mimic what our ancestors would have eaten in nature. Obviously, there's so many skeptics saying, well, we don't have the same foods that they had. Who cares? If you were in nature today, what would be available to you? That's the idea behind it, which you would have to hunt. You'd have to gather fruits, vegetables, berries, nuts, seeds, and eat meat. Sorry, vegetarians. You wouldn't survive if I threw you into nature. If you didn't eat meat, you would not survive.
For what has been an influential part of your theory?
I've done a shit ton of research on this because this was when I first started to realize that I couldn't eat whatever I wanted. I had to know why. So I've read just tons and tons of stuff. The first book I read that really put it into a good perspective, though, is what Ricky is reading right now, which is the Paleo Solution by Rob Wolf. And he explains sort of this whole element in a way more structured, way more convenient, easy to understand book. And it's been on the New York Times best-selling list for 5 years. And that's not because it's not a fad diet sort of thing. People are realizing that, hey, if you eat this way, all of a sudden you look good, you feel good, and you perform better at sports. LeBron James just came out saying that he's paleo. LeBron James just came out. He just came out. And all of a sudden, every new major news media, or sports news media, came out and said, the LeBron James diet. Did they call it paleo?
No.
Okay, because guess what? All the news media and sports media is owned by the people that also own crops in monetized, spread throughout the world. You know, like, there's 11 corporations that own everything in America, blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever, if you want to get all crazy tinfoil hat sort of stuff. You can think of the reasoning that the media has for posting stuff is typically to benefit their other companies. I mean, if you look at who owns Fox News, it's not
the Rothschilds.
I mean, there's someone that owns a supermarket literally owns a news media that owns a, you know, like the guy that owns the biggest supermarket, like Ralph's or something, probably owns a radio station, and then, I mean, it just literally trickles all back up to the 11 companies or whatever it said it was. Like 90% of all the income in America is generated by 11 companies. I forget what it was.
Four families.
Yeah, something like that. But, so, it's not in anyone's best interest to recommend any sort of change unless it was due to potential profit increases in the media. Do we agree? This is why private, independent sort of news media outlets are getting more popular. Like, what are the big independent news media corporations? Like, you know, like all the websites that are underground, sort of uprooted, like... Huffington Post is owned by... They're owned by the Huffington family, and they own a whole shit ton of other stuff, too, but... Okay, I'm totally blanking on the names of those, but...
TMZ.
Okay.
Harvey Linden.
But you can imagine, yeah, like I said, that no media outlet's going to post anything that would potentially draw a loss in profit to any other sort of thing. This is why, like I said, LeBron James comes out, it turns out LeBron James is eating paleo. Every front page of all the news media said the LeBron James diet.
He said that
how to lose 20 pounds in you know 8 weeks leading up to the season with the LeBron James diet.
All extreme, and he had to have like people monitoring and stuff.
Yeah, extreme and monitoring and on a daily basis had to be checked for his health and that sort of stuff. And that was all made up bullshit. LeBron James just realized, hey, if I can perform better by eating a certain way, shouldn't I do that?
Of course.
He's the best NBA player lately. and I mean the guy's insane. He's a freak athlete, and he got better because he got lighter, he got stronger. And who doesn't want to be lighter, less body fat, and stronger? Okay, I'm not saying it's the LeBron James diet because I'm trying to convince you guys to do it, but trust me, this is coming from the ground up, and it's going to take probably 20 to 30 to 40 years, but eventually this will be the new dietary recommendations, and then you can. Come to me in 20 to 30, 40 years, and if it's not wrong, you could punch me in the face. Or if it's not right, then you can punch me in the face. But nearly guaranteeing, and this is solely due to the fact that I test this theory on a daily basis with all of my clients that I've ever had and myself.
How do you hold your clients accountable?
Tracking. MyFitnessPal app, they'll track all their food.
But I mean, do you just trust them that they're doing it?
I mean, like I said, even I fall off the wagon here and there, and I'll eat some crappy food that's inflammatory, and But that's more like maybe once a week, maybe once every other week. If I can most of the time, 95% of the time, eat really healthy, I'm going to look like I do. Okay?
So is Rob, this guy Rob Wolf, is he like the main source of this?
He's the second guy in line in the for the paleo diet sort of thing. The first initial guy is called Lauren Cordain. And Rob Wolf studied under Lauren Cordain at the University of I think Northern California somewhere. University of, I don't know, but he has a bachelor's of science in, what's that study called? Metabolism? What is it? Metabolism? I don't know. It's basically in nutrition.
Okay.
Yeah. Or it's not nutrition, it's in the study of the body under nutritional circumstances. Oh, microbiology? No. I don't know, something like that. And he put it to the test with himself and Lauren Cordain and 10 other people and realized that every single thing that they did, they were getting absolutely perfect results, creating absolutely perfect health and completely eradicating all disease risk, pretty much all disease risk, by eating a specific way. And then they started to publish books about it. And then all of a sudden other people tried it because they recommended it. And now it's literally, when you think of CrossFit, you think of paleo diet. And that's, anybody ever seen like a CrossFitter? That's not because they just CrossFit a lot.
It helps.
That was
your secret.
you branch off though from Rob Wolf a little on the grains.
On
the paleo diet.
So yes, yeah, so I mean there's hundreds of different versions. I try to eat as anti-inflammatory as possible. Meaning my main focus is to eradicate all inflammation, which is called actually the elimination diet.
They're calling it, he's got a section here on anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. He's got a new site, good for him.
Anti-inflammatory diet.
Yeah, and that's for if you have autoimmune disease, like any autoimmune disease, which is your psoriasis, your, I can't name much autoimmune diseases, but.
You're getting old.
Yeah, I'm getting back. Hey, Art got me back.
Get you back.
But yeah, if you have like any sort of
gastrointestinal issue.
Yeah, what's it, colitis?
IBS.
IBS.
Crohn's
disease.
Crohn's disease.
Gout or not gout. There's a lot of those sort of autoimmune issues. And then I more follow the autoimmune sort of thing, even though I don't have any autoimmune diseases. I know what I feel my best at, and I know what I feel, if I, one thing is just a little off, like if I have a quarter cup of dairy, instantly, I know. And I respond to it, and then I track that and know that next time I do that, I probably shouldn't do that, because it gets me a little bit inflamed.
Do you know what cannabinoids are?
What's that?
Cannabinoids?
Cannabinoids.
I think that's how you say it.
Is reflux disease considered? Acid reflux can be. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to think of acid reflux as a too much acid being secreted in the stomach, and then tracking back. Certain foods can cause that. Yes. And that's why I'm sure with acid reflux to say, stay away from this, stay away from this. If you were to eat only foods from nature, one ingredient based, like I'm saying, that would eliminate all possible foods. I mean, I'm sure the nachos and beer, did that not feel too good?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example of like, that, like you probably wouldn't want to eat that if you're trying to eat 100% from nature sort of foods. So they might say that, you know, this sort of diet is limiting, but I'm going to show you exactly what, basically every single possible nutrient that you need for health, vitamins, minerals, proteins, carbs, and fats, we'll just say every single micronutrient that you need to survive, every vitamin and mineral, A, B, C, D, E, K, B, yeah, there you go. can be found only from meat and green leafy vegetables. Every single one. Every single one.
Can I go fill this up?
Yeah, we're actually taking a break right now. Yeah, we'll go break and we'll come back and finish this chapter more normally.
Okay. What do you think about, like, when it's labeled as, like, a, you know,